has it. So was it in the lives of the 12 chosen apostles. And as we read through the word, we get a glimpse. We don't see the whole story all the time, but we get glimpses and pieces of these men's lives and how their 3.5 year relationship went with the Lord Jesus Christ. And one figure stands out to me in the scripture, in particular of the apostles, and that would be the man, Peter. Or you may call him Simon Peter. But it's interesting how many times Peter is included in some story, some event. And when in the middle of the event, or sometimes at the end of the event, he would appear, you know, as a shining light or a complete fool. He would appear. Now, we wouldn't call him a fool. That's Antichrist. But he would appear foolish to us. And sometimes the words that would come out of his mouth or the actions, but other times. And I suppose at times he maybe felt like a spectacle. Because all it took was the Lord Jesus saying, Peter, and 11 or 22 sets of eyes, or no, 11 sets, 22 eyes, would fix on Peter and listen and watch the encounter and listen to what Peter would respond to and then watch how Jesus would respond to Peter's response. Because you see these encounters often taking place. The only one that I can remember where maybe it was Peter alone, I believe it was Peter in the hinder, when Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, fell asleep in the midst of a storm. And he went back and said, don't you care, we're dying, we're going to die. And of course he used very straightforward words when he said, oh, ye of little faith, and said, peace. And the elements obeyed him. The elements. You ever tried that? You ever been in such a storm? Maybe the thunder was so close it was just racking the windows and you got scared. And you, whether it was under your breath or maybe you stood on a chair and boldly proclaimed, stop, please. You didn't have the guts to say, peace be still. Anybody ever exclaim anything at the weather? I'm the only one? Are you kidding me? You haven't been in a storm yet. You haven't been in a situation that you thought, this isn't going well and it's getting worse and we need help. When we lived in Sunnyside, I remember a week of wind, sub-zero. There was this much ice on the inside of our front door. All the cracks, anytime, anywhere air could get through, and cold met hot, it made ice. Kept condensating and building and building. And I remember looking out the window thinking, God, will this ever end? Well, it came to an end. Peter, there was another time when they were out on the water, out at sea, and another storm. But in the midst of the storm, they looked and a ghost had come walking on the water. That's what they thought. He appeared as a ghost until he begin to speak to them. And this, you know, lunatic Peter, one of the 12, he gets this idea. And he says, Lord, 22 eyes. What's he going to say? If it be you, bid me come You know, all these eyes, they're looking back and forth. They're always looking at Peter. He's about to say something or do something really stupid. And the Lord says, come. Wide-eyed Peter gets a leg out and over and onto the water, and it holds. And now the eyes are darting back and forth, and out he goes, and he's cruising across the water, and all of a sudden he starts sinking. And now the 22 eyes are wide. What's going to happen? But the great I am, the omnipotent one, the almighty, reached down and pulled him up out of that very confusing situation. Saved his life, saved his neck again. There just seemed to be a myriad of situations that were always, you know, what's he going to do? What's he going to say next? One time Jesus is asking the questions, and he says, so who's everybody saying that I am? And a few of them popped off with some answers, but Peter got, he just spoke out and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now you can imagine. What? And all eyes again, they're on Peter. And then they're on Jesus. How's he going to respond to that statement? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. So he's praising him. He's patting him on the back. And this is one of those moments. Peter is high in God. He's having a good day. Worship service was awesome. And he's walking out of service on top of the mountain. Man, I am untouchable today. Go, come on. Come on, devil. Go. That's how he is up here. Well, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 22 at verse 28. Jesus speaking says, you are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Now that word temptations in the Greek comes from the word that means proving. Sometimes we see this word temptation and it doesn't always mean the same thing. But this was a proving time for the Lord. They were with him. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There's a new government coming. There is a new government coming. You'll rule with me. You'll sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, another one of these situations. We're going to watch and see how this plays out. Maybe Simon was jesting around and he was still pretty high on that last worship service. I don't know. And he says a second time, Simon, all eyes are listening. What's he going to say? Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, I don't even think Peter's hearing that last part. I think Peter's still on the first part. Satan desires to have you, to sift you like wheat. And then all eyes, of course, they're looking at the Lord. They're looking at Peter. And what does all this mean? And they're looking back and forth. Peter, he's looking at them. and looking back at the Lord, what are you talking about? We just had a blowout service, man. I'm doing good. I have lived for God all week long. What are you talking about? I'm going to go through this trial. I'm going to be tested. And the Lord's trying to help him with some understanding. Do you think the Lord feels any less for Peter in these moments as at any prior times? He said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. You felt that way before, haven't you? He could call on you for anything. Life or the absence thereof. You're going to just be with the Lord. You know, so be it. If that's what it takes, I'll be a martyr. Yep. My faith and my confidence is in God. I love him and he knows it. And he could ask anything of me at this time. I'm surrendered. My will is surrendered. I've been doing great. I've been living for God for 3 months now. And he said, here's this encounter. Here's all eyes. He says, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. I don't know. I don't know if Peter is still looking around at the other guys, you know. I don't know if he's looking at the ground. I don't know if he's looking at some inanimate object just to avoid looking into anybody's face at this moment because of the things that the Lord has just told him about his own life. Here he had finally come to the place through all of these past encounters where he had a little bit of self-confidence. Because that's what it was, self-confidence. Aren't you glad that we get to just read this stuff and we don't have to live through it? Oh, okay. Don't raise your hand. Don't make it look obvious. I'm skipping down to verse 54. Then they took him and they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Don't raise your hand. You ever found yourself in a situation that you were absolutely blown away at yourself? You couldn't imagine that it was even possible for you to sink to this low. The Lord's already, Peter's heard from the Lord and has already warned him, look, you're going to go through a situation. Here's a question. Did the devil make him do it? Well, come on, you said it. That devil made me do it. Devil's not even involved here yet. Whatever the work that Satan is going to do hasn't even happened yet. This is simply the action of an individual. This is humanity at its best. trying to stand strong and falling over. And so Peter is the one that denies him. And not just once, of course, as we read on, again and then again, and then he hears the cock crow, and the Bible says that the Lord looks back at, now their eyes meet again. Thank God the apostles are not around. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I suppose he probably didn't show up at the next four or five services. Might have called Sister John so and said, I'm quitting the choir. Sister Fisher got a call. Yeah, I know. I was on the schedule to do the, Super Summer Blast thing this week. But, you know, some things have come up and we're not going to be able to make it. We're going out of town. And we know what it's like when you feel like removing yourself, disqualifying yourself, you know, sometimes even punishing yourself. And if the Lord doesn't punish you enough, you take it a couple steps further to make sure you have been beat down enough. After all, you deserve it. You've judged yourself. You know how critical the moment was, and you know you failed. Of course, you're not telling anybody about it, and that's okay. But that is when Satan starts sifting. It's the battle of the mind. It's the torment. It's the beating up of the conscience. And when you would have, remember when Peter lent himself so quickly? Remember when he was so available every time, every moment? And I would guess that the apostles could almost anticipate when the Lord would call for something. They'd look at Peter first. Let's wait, let's see what he's going to do. You know, here he goes again, out on that water. Letting faith operate. Stepping into the supernatural. Everybody else just watching in the pews. I mean the boat. Right. Never being available. Never lending themselves. Always watching. Critically judging. Right. Yet never participating to the level that Peter would. But Peter put on a good show. I mean, after all. Listen, I can't hear it. And those little encounters, those little conversations, and you wonder, is this going to be one of these shining moments in the life of Peter? Or is he going to fall flat on his face and we'll have something to talk about for the next couple months? Yeah. Did you hear about? Yeah, I saw it on Facebook. Oh, Peter. I can't believe you did. Oh, no, that's not the Lord talking. That's Satan who's doing the sifting. What's the Lord doing? When he looked back and made that last eye glance, did he have to do that? Eyes meeting and the pain and the sorrow and the agony that was in the Lord's eyes. Because he knew what Peter was about to enter into. Try to live through. And he was on his way to a burial grave. Right. He wouldn't be there to encourage him. He wouldn't be there to support him. He wouldn't be there to help him make it through. Peter'd be on his own. Fighting with himself. Wrestling with himself. Fighting off the demons. Fighting off the eyes of his peers. The questions in their mind, and he'd probably find us a place and just be alone, get alone, stay alone, and I'm not answering any calls. Don't text me. I don't want to talk to nobody. Right. I don't know who I am anymore. I don't even know if this is worth it. I don't know if I can make it. I know. Y'all have never thought anything like that. Those are the kinds of things Peter would. That's just the Bible. We'll just read the Bible. Don't let it come alive to me. Romans 5 and 5, or 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope in the glory of God. And not only also, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing there was a reason for that experience, that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. I had no idea that situation would take me so far. It was the worst time of my life. You haven't had that yet? Oh, let's pray for you then right now. Oh, God, there's something up the road. There's something just ahead. There's something down the road. Help them to hold on. Help them to keep faith. You realize that when the Lord said, I've prayed for you, Peter, not that you would skip over the trial, not that Satan would leave you alone, not that an angel of God would stand between the two of you and protect you,
right,
but that your faith would remain and not fail. That's when faith goes. When we fall, all of a sudden, the power, the anointing that we have felt and experienced in our lives, the confidence that we had in God, it's like it washes away in a moment.
Right.
And we got to start all over again, work our way. I prayed for you. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. You're going to go something through something now. They're going to follow you. They're going to go through some things after. And because you went through what you did, you're going to be the voice that encourages. You're going to be the one that, who ministers. You're going to be the one who helps and keeps them from falling and great casualty and giving up. You can make it through. But oh, the fight, oh, the struggle, oh, the beating up of the mind. But it does a work. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely or rarely, for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't it amazing that we'll give more credit to the fact that God would surrender all for sinners, but we who have become believers, who took on his name in the waters of baptism, who received the gift of his Spirit, who have sought to walk daily according to his leading, somehow we detract from that, and you know, we don't allow him to shed his blood or to bring remembrance and the application of that blood. We sang about it today. Man, it reaches. It reaches. His blood reaches. His blood reaches. His mercy reaches. His grace empowers. His mercy reaches. He knew us in the depths of our sin. He knew us in our darkest hour. He knew the hour would come long before it would ever appear. And his mercy still reaches. His blood still flows. His help reaches to us. He knows us. He knows our frame. He knows what you're capable of. Even when we refuse to believe that we would be even capable of it. And he reaches. Why don't you stand? Jesus, let's pray. Lord, the pen is still in your hand. You are the author and you are the finisher of our faith. You are the author, you are the finisher of our faith. When the Lord was crucified on Calvary, others watched from a distance. Very few were near. He looked out upon a people and he interceded. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It wasn't long. It became dark in the sky, and he cried out one more time, "Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Why?" And the Bible says he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He gave up his spirit. The Spirit of God left him. They took him to a borrowed tomb. Having pushed a spear in his side, having crushed a crown of thorns on his head, Peter all the while watching from a distance, and all he can think about is, "The Lord told me this was going to happen." But even with that, I don't know if I can go through it. They buried him. One day passed. Do you know how many thoughts a person can entertain in one day alone? Do you know how many accusations can bombard the mind in just 10 minutes? Never mind 12 or 24 hours. You think Peter slept? I doubt it. I bet some of those were the longest days of his life. And then still hope, you know, the next morning comes. Sun came up and hoping that it was a nightmare. How could it be true? How could it be true? And to live through another day of mental beating. Again and again, and finally the sun going down on that second day. I gotta get past these 2 days, you know. Surely tomorrow will be different. Somehow I gotta survive. The Lord said he prayed for me. And I'm hurting so much. And the sun came up on the third day. Nothing had changed. It was after the 3 days. A messenger came with a wild and crazy story. He is risen. He is risen. What do you mean he's risen? Yeah, yeah. He said, go tell the disciples and Peter. He specifically mentioned your name. What goes through the mind of a man when a loving God reaches that far and specifically lets them know, I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I am your savior. Don't lose faith. Don't lose faith. I prayed that your faith would not fail. I interceded that your faith would not fail. He may have risen up intercessors that joined in prayer and agreement. He knows you in your darkest hour. And he says, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it.
Respond right now to what you're feeling. Respond to the ministry of the Holy Ghost right now, to your spirit, to your life, to your specific situation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. It will never lose its power. I yield myself to the drawing of your spirit right now, Father. Oh, hallelujah. 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 The ministry of your spirit to my heart. The ministry of your spirit to my life, Jesus. To my specific situation. To my specific failures. To my specific shortcomings, Jesus. I receive that ministry today. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
It's the blood that gives me strength.
In the name of Jesus.